ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, beautiful humans. That was my cat running away. Welcome to episode 34. Of Croversation. What week of lockdown are we on now? Are we on week four? Has it been 4 weeks or are we on week four? Does it matter? I know, Indy. I hear you, buddy. Well, I've been spending my day in my garden. That's a real privilege I have. Becoming a nature witch, you guys, but I'm not going to waffle on about that now because that's not what you're here for, is it? You're here to listen to a genuine human conversation. Connection, that's what we need right now, right? My guest this week is a really cool, badass woman. She's like legendary level. She swallows swords, okay? Right? She is currently in New Zealand. Wild, what a place to be during this pandemic. And we talk about where she is a lot and how healing it is. And oh, I'm so envious. Oh, she is the amazing Rachel Atlas. She's like my performer mama. She's a lot of people's performer mama. She was actually there the day that I decided in 2018. Wow, that was a while ago. To go sober when I realized I had a problem. And she was right there. And she was awesome. And I almost messed up her show. I was late. I missed the tech rehearsal. I fucked it. But she forgave me, and for that, I will sincerely adore her. Please welcome Rachel Atlas, the amazing, amazing performing, sword swallowing, fire eating, amazing badass. Oh, I love her. To episode 34 of Croversation.
When I was growing up, all my role models were male. I didn't see anyone I could relate to in the press, online, anywhere. Now, I'm surrounded with the most phenomenal women. They've each endured unique hardships and survived. More than survived, they thrive. But still, women are not equal in the world. Not represented in the media. Not treated equally online. And still subjected to sexism in everyday life. Alternative women especially are more a hashtag than they are real humans. I want to change that. I want you to see the women I see. I want you to hear them. This is Croversation.
And I guess, yeah. Guys, hi friends, welcome back to Croversation. This is my second recording during the crazy global time that we're in. It's pretty stressful, but I'm really enjoying these chats. And I've got another super wholesome, super awesome, super powerful badass, Rachel Atlas, with me today. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very, very well. As well as can be expected, in quarantine in the midst of a global pandemic.
Absolutely. But I feel like you're in quarantine in a great place. Tell me where you are.
I am. I was very lucky. I mean, I'm actually in New Zealand at the moment.
So nice.
Which is one of the only countries in the world that is actually almost managing to eliminate the coronavirus.
I love your Prime Minister.
Oh, yeah. She's probably, I would say, the best world leader
100%.
Right now. And I mean, I was reading an article saying that she basically has given a masterclass in world leading in the way in which she has dealt with this virus.
Yeah, she has. And so many, like, global events, like the shootings.
Oh, good, yeah.
She's so... I feel like she's just very sensible. I don't understand how... other people out.
Yeah, no, you trust her, absolutely. But I mean, I was in a crazy situation because I was actually in New York kind of on holiday.
Wow.
When this, so I'd been in New York for like 2 months. I was just there on a kind of a long holiday, staying with friends and stuff. And this situation kind of started to get real. Yeah. And then I was just like, what do I, because I have a New Zealand passport and I have a UK passport.
Oh, I see.
And I kind of live in the UK, but all my family are in New Zealand. So this all started kicking off. And I was just like, where am I going to go? Like, what, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to stay in New York. And I thought the UK looks like it's going to get pretty bad.
Yep.
So I literally, you know, made a very, very snap decision. And it was literally as the borders were closing and all the flights were stopping and stuff. I was just like, I have to decide.
How did you feel? It must have been scary.
It was really scary because, you know, I said to my mum, you know, I said to her, like, can I, because it was like Monday, I said, can I fly on Friday? She was like, no, come now.
Now.
Because she was like, they are going to stop flights and stuff like that.
Definitely.
You know, so I kind of got here.
Did your mum know
here just in time.
Do you think the government kept them more informed in New Zealand where your mum was?
Yeah. No. But the thing is also, I mean, you know, the case, I mean, like, there's only been 1,000-something cases here in total and one fatality. And today, the number of new cases was down to 24 one day.
That must be such a nice environment to be in.
It's an amazing... Well, I mean, it's beautiful. Like, where I'm out in the country, it's beautiful here. But also, it's kind of like they have been so strict with this lockdown. Like, you know, we have no takeaway food places are open.
Wow.
Things like... you can't get mail order like clothes or anything here. Like,
really?
All businesses apart from supermarkets and essential things are shut.
Whoa. Are people listening?
You know, so, but this is smart because what they want to do is go hard and so it, you know, get a good effect quickly and then we can all go back to normal.
Yeah. It keeps it shorter.
Well, I mean, I find it crazy, you know. I mean, I know, obviously, they want to kind of get money in the economy, but the fact, you know, in the UK and in America and stuff, you know, takeaways are still open, a lot of business, you know.
100%.
And it's like, I mean, I know, obviously, that makes it nicer for people, but, like, it's still unnecessary, you know.
I think it just, it kind of, it just softens it, but it also just makes it not as worth it. Like, what's the point in half-ass
doing something?
Yeah,
I mean, if we're all going to have to suffer, we might as well, I'd say, just go hard and, like, yeah, I mean, I can live without having takeaways for a month if it means that I've only got to do this for a month.
Yeah, exactly, and then we can go back to normality, because the longer you're out, the more impact it has.
Yeah, for sure.
On your mental health. Sure. How's your mental health out there? I must be calmer
than
me.
Well, I mean, I'm very lucky. So my mother and my sister both live out here, and they both have kind of, like, farms out in the absolute middle of nowhere. So they both lived here for 20 odd years, well, but nearly 20 years. And so they've been self isolating forever.
Yeah, they just do it anyway.
Yeah, and then, like, my sister's kids are homeschooled. She doesn't see anyone. You know, I rang her when this was all happening. I rang her from New York, and I was like, are you guys okay? She was like, it's not any different. And out here I'm at my mum's right now, and I mean, you know, we don't have neighbors here. Like, the nearest neighbor's probably like a mile away.
Really?
Wow. And I mean, I've been coming here for 17 years and it's just the same. It's like, when I come here, I don't see anyone.
Yeah. Is that nice though? So,
no, it's amazing. And I mean, to be honest, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to get here, because I knew it would feel the most normal.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah. Cause it's just,
because
life.
If I was, you know, I live in Glasgow in Scotland. And I think if I was in my flat in Glasgow right now, I would feel very depressed.
Yeah.
As do many people in towns, you know, feel very trapped and kind of isolated. Whereas here, it's just me in the middle of nowhere.
I'm here anyway. Yeah, because you must not have any work at the moment, Rachel, because you're a performer.
I am a performer, yeah.
Tell me, like, a little background for people that don't know.
Okay, I'm primarily a sword swallower. Ex-husband and I recently, I just got divorced about a couple of weeks ago, which is very exciting.
What a year for you. But
my recently ex-husband and I, we had a knife throwing act called the Death Do Us Part Danger Show, and that's kind of, I guess, what I would probably be known best for, as I kind of created that with him. And we kind of took the very, like, old school vaudeville pastime of knife throwing and kind of rebooted it for the 21st century and kind of took it to, like, rock festivals.
Extreme.
And yeah, awesome. And just did really crazy extreme stunts and stuff like that. That's kind of what we were known for. But now we've split, and I'm I do a lot of solo stuff, sword swallowing, and I also kind of like put on and produce and book events as well.
Yeah, you're really great at putting together, I think, a really strong lineup.
Yeah, I love that. You know, you've performed for me before.
I have.
A couple of things.
It was wonderful. Where was that? Liverpool Tattoo Convention?
Liverpool Tattoo Convention, yep.
You ran the show so well.
Last March, like a year ago.
Was it a year ago now?
That was a year ago.
I feel like it was. I think so, yeah. Gosh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, that was super fun. So you're kind of like the mama, aren't you?
I like to put things together, but I mean, I've also, you know, obviously I know that that's a very kind of a topic close to your heart, but I mean, I've also been kind of a sex worker in pretty much every aspect of the industry, like for my entire life. So it's not something that I'm particularly out about, just because I've never, I think the thing that's very interesting is I am very inspired by your generation of these young, because for people who don't know me, I'll be 40 this year, so I'm kind of an older generation than you.
Yeah, she wise.
And in my day, in the 1920s, none of us wanted to talk about stuff like that, you know. Like,
yeah, if the
you
stigma did, was you know, real.
Yeah, if you did porn or anything like that, you just didn't want anyone to know about it. Or if you did, you know, you know, any kind of sex work, stripping or escorting or like anything, you know, you just didn't want anyone to know. And I mean, you know, I've done all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, I was like a dominatrix for a long time. I've done, yeah, pretty much every aspect.
I can imagine
at some
you
stage
dom.
Or another. Pardon?
I can imagine you as a dom.
Oh yeah, I'm very, very, very strict.
You are. You just have
mean.
A presence. No, you're not mean at all. But you're in charge. She's definitely in charge.
But I mean, I think that for me is something that's really inspiring about younger generations of women is that the fact that now it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, I'm a sex worker. And I'm like, wow, back in my day, you wouldn't say that. No. And I mean, I've always been very kind of like furtive about stuff like that because I didn't. Yeah, I'm kind of from a generation where people would be looked, you know, you kind of were looked down upon for that kind of thing, so you just didn't really want anyone to know.
What was like the public narrative at the time?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, this is actually one of the first things I've ever talked about it publicly on. Because
how did
I'm
it
also
feel
getting
having
to,
keep it so. How did it feel having to keep it under wraps?
Well, I mean, I think the hardest thing for anyone that's ever done kind of any kind of sex work is not. I've always said I don't have a problem with the work at all, but I have a problem with having to lie about it.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, that's, you know, you've got your, you know, for instance, if you're, you know, you're young, you're making all this money, you're coming home with all this money, and your family are like, oh, how did you get this money? So then you have to think up a really elaborate excuse as to where you got the money from.
Right.
And so you have like
have
a fake
to.
Job.
Yeah.
I know. And then you... And I mean, you know, I know girls who are working in various types of the industry who, you know, who are hiding it from their partners, 100%. From their children, from their friends, you know, and you have to have a different excuse for different people because they know you from different places and,
exactly.
You know.
That's so true.
And it's exhausting.
Being out as a sex worker is definitely a privilege, you know.
Oh, yeah.
My family's know, also always been so accepting, but it wasn't always
no,
the
that's
case,
amazing.
Sure. Mm.
I mean, I think it's, you know, for me, it's, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm not going into immense detail, you know, because I'm probably not comfortable yet. But I mean, I'm, you know, the fact that I feel now, I'm just tired of hiding it.
Good. It's a horrible feeling having to like just shield a part of yourself from the world just in case. It causes a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I feel like, you know, I think, like I said, in this day and age, I mean, I think, you know, your generation, the young people, but, you know, and things like, obviously, platforms, things like OnlyFans and stuff, it's like, you know, everyone's making porn these days,
that's
like,
right.
Everyone's, you know.
It's much more transparent,
it's socially
I guess.
Acceptable.
Yeah, 100%. Just more common, and I think just by exposure and representation, it's become more normalized in people's minds.
Yeah, and I mean, really, if you're still kind of like anti-sex work in this day and age, then really you need to go and get
it's
like
so
get coronavirus.
Old hat, isn't it? Yeah. Oh no.
That's
you probably will if you're a bad person. because
well, not exactly. No, but you know what I mean. Like, if you really in this day and age, you're still, you know, you're still thinking, you know, you need to go out with the arc. Your time here is done.
Like, it's very obviously like an old fashioned opinion. I remember watching the Louis Theroux documentary, Selling Sex. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
It was just so. Louis, I always thought of someone that asked like edgy questions that got out information that people wanted to know, but he kept pressing the issue of whether sex work was even moral to sell sex. And I was like, dude, we've already decided it is. Next question. Like, that's like a 20-year-old argument, my friend.
And that's what they always wanted. They always want an angle like that and to try and make out, like, you know, that people are in some way kind of being forced, or that it's...
That's right.
You know,
it's no normal person would choose it.
No, there has to be a tragic element, and you have to be incredibly damaged and
And born. I find,
and they're all documentaries about the sex industry are the same, and they're you know, and that's incredibly frustrating. I think
it is. I think that's why it's so important to speak about it, even especially on a personal level as a human being, because for so long the narrative's been controlled by other people, like even if it's legislation or representation in movies like Hustlers. Or anywhere else, the representation is controlled by not sex workers. It's obviously
completely
not accurate.
I mean, I'm sure, I think it was possibly you I saw sharing it, but did you see that in the States, like, people whose income comes from sex work are not eligible for the emergency money?
I did see that. I put it in my intro for my episode yesterday. It's outrageous that they're so obvious and upfront about it, even legal industry.
It's disgusting. It's just like, what is this, like, the 1800s, like, you know, it's
so archaic, especially they didn't even specify it certain industries. Like, even if you have like a OnlyFans account, technically you're excluded.
It's insane. Bizarre. But I mean, you know, it's funny that now I'm just like, I've digressed. But yeah, so, but I mean, primarily I am a circus performer.
Yeah.
Primarily, I do stupid, dangerous stuff.
Do you think burlesque and performance crosses over with sex work a lot of the skills?
Well, like good swallowing.
I didn't even think of that, but yes.
No, I mean, I think if you're an extra, I mean, obviously if you're kind of an extrovert person, then I don't know if that makes you, I don't know if that would, yeah, I mean, I guess, because I mean, you know, I used to be a dancer and stuff like that at one point, like back in the 1950s when go-go was king. I was a stripper like a long time ago, and I mean, I guess, you know, it gives you an ability to kind of get up on stage and stuff. I mean, I don't know though, because I know some sex workers who are very kind of introverted, and I know some performers who are very, and vice versa. I don't know.
I think it's definitely being exposed in a way, but it's being exposed in a very different way. On stage, I feel much more nervous and exposed than if I'm like standing naked in front of somebody.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean? That's absolutely, absolutely. I would 100% agree with that. And I mean, you know, particularly because I know you've hosted things as well, as do I.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, if you're on stage like with a microphone.
Oh wow, yeah, that spotlight's, you know, on you.
Yeah. Though that said, I prefer to have a microphone than like, I'm a terrible dancer. I hate dancing.
Do you?
So I mean, I would rather I would literally rather do like a stand up comedy routine.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, I like a funny. Oh, comedy's scary though.
Yeah, it is.
How are you finding hosting? I love it.
Yeah, no, I love it too. And I mean, you know, I'm lucky. The last few years I've had some really good opportunities, and like we toured a lot and stuff. And you know, I think that the hardest thing for me was I made my name as a performer in a double act, like with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
And people were really, really in love. Well, like I said, we were called the Death to Us Part Danger Show, and people were really in love with the kind of concept of the two of us. And that's partly because I am really good at selling stuff, and I created a brand.
It was a brand.
Yeah, strong. It was 100% a brand. And, you know, that's the thing. People would just message us and be like, oh my God, you guys are couple goals, your relationship goals, you're so in love, this is amazing. And the fact was, in the beginning, we were in love very early on, but then pretty early on, things went quite bad. But that was, things in our marriage went bad as the show started to take off.
I see.
So I kind of made a decision that I wanted, you know, I was like, I'm going to stay in this. And so, you know, for most of the time that people were kind of, you know, but I still sold it. And I mean, this is the thing that I've thought long and hard about is how it's kind of like, if you sell something hard enough to people and everyone else believes that, then you start to believe it too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you would know this as well from being in the public. And you also kind of, you kind of are basking in the reflected glory from them. So even though at points we kind of hated each other, we still kind of stayed together because we wanted to have this, you know, this kind of reflected glory.
Yeah, it's sort of an idea. You're in love with the idea.
Yeah, the idea, like the idea of me and Charlie was absolutely incredible. And like I said, and when we finally did break up, you know, because I mean, our relationship was, it got pretty like toxic in the last while. And when we finally, you know, split for good and I posted about it, you know, I had women messaging me saying, you know, I always was so jealous of you. I was so jealous of you. I thought that you had the perfect relationship and I, you know, wondered why I could never find anything like that. And I'm like, it was smoke and mirrors. It was all lies.
Yeah, it's funny how things can work across.
Yeah. And I mean, I wanted to sell... It was a product to me, but it was making people fall in love with a product. And the thing that I find very hard is I can sell other people. I find selling myself very hard.
Yeah.
So like as a solo performer, I find it very hard to market myself, but like put me in with another person and I'm like, this is the best thing you have ever seen.
You're so helpful. You're always raising other people up. You're always like trying to get other people gigs and stuff, but you don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, no, I mean,
and
just like if I, yeah, no, I don't. And I mean, that's, you know, that's something that I'm, you know, I'm learning to do better this year. And it's, you know, I'm, one of the great things I think about having this time, this quarantine.
Quarantine.
I've been putting a lot of words that you can, but one of the most positive things about this, I think, is it's actually given me the time to do a lot of work on me.
Yes.
Which is really hard and really horrible.
Yeah, nobody wants to do it. You have to sit with some uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's you know, it's been tough, but I've definitely made progress. I've probably made more progress, you know, being here in the woods in New Zealand by myself for like, I've been here for nearly 3 weeks.
Wow, yeah.
Than I have in years.
Really?
You know.
Because you've specifically set aside the time to do so.
Because I've got the time and I'm actually trying and I'm like, right, there's no excuses now.
An active process, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do.
It was similar when I started therapy. There was a lot of stuff to talk about in therapy, but there was so much stuff that I had to do outside therapy. Because, like you said, once you get this idea of who you are or of what something is, you begin believing it. So I had this whole idea about myself that wasn't real. Like Rebecca Crowe is something that I'd invented, obviously. Yeah. It was like a show. So it actively took like about a year to sort of break that down and be like, oh, I'm actually Becca Norris, that's my real name, and people know me as that now, and it's really funny, but I do feel better for it.
Well, yeah, because obviously, and also you were probably very young, were you not, when you kind of first, you know, were in Suicide Girls and kind of became...
Yeah, 18, fresh 18-year-old.
Yeah, you see, that's insane. And I mean, you know, any kind of having to create a persona and live a persona from that age is definitely going to, you know, take its toll on your mental health.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't realise, but it became a cover-up for so many things.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I think therapy is, I mean, I only started having therapy the end of last year, kind of.
How are you finding it? I love therapy.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best thing I ever did. I mean, I love going to the therapist. Like, I'm like, oh, it's therapy.
I,
you know, I'm excited.
Yeah, I feel so much better after. I'm like, oh, wow, that was great.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, I mean, I've said that to all my friends, to anyone that has not, or is scared of considering it, you know, it's, but I think the trouble is you have to find someone that you really trust and you 100%. Really connect with.
I find that when I speak to other sex workers about therapy, they've had like mixed reviews, especially some therapists are very judgmental of being a sex worker and they make assumptions yeah. about your mental health. So it is tricky. You're right. But thank
I mean,
God,
I was actually, when I approached the place I went to, because I go to a private place, and when I approached them, I actually, you know, I kind of explained my situation and I explained my background. So they put me with someone that was, you know, positive towards that kind of thing.
That's good.
But it's not even just that. I mean, one of my best friends is a psychotherapist, and she said to me that it is so important that you, because basically your therapist is someone you will imprint you, if you don't instantly like connect and like and trust them, it's not going to work for you, because
yeah,
she said
you will imprint on
that person every relationship you've ever had.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
So you need to like, you need someone that you kind of feel, you know, and there's some people, you know, you meet them and you just don't like them. That's
no,
just how, you know, that's
it's
life.
It's just not similar. I mean, there's so many humans in the world. How are you like
and they can clash, and you can just clash, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was so lucky, like my woman is, yeah, she's as soon as I saw her and like she answered the door and I was just like, I hope it's you. And it was her.
Oh,
and I was just, I just find her so calming and kind and just, yeah, she's just incredible.
It's so nice to hear other people talk about therapy positively, because mm-hmm. so many people have horror stories, even I have like a bad experience, but when I find someone else that's loved it, I feel like it's so important to talk about it, because therapy is the one singular thing that's like helped save my life really from like a really dark place.
Absolutely. And right? Same for me. And the thing is, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, I pay for it privately, and you know, I'm lucky to be in a position where I can afford to do that. But then, you know, I think I pay something like £60 per session,
yeah,
which is, you know, a week or 2 weeks. And people say to me, like, you know, I've got friends who have way better jobs than me, who are like, oh, that's a lot, you know, that's an awful lot of money. I'm like, you would spend that on drugs.
I say that to people. That's how I justify it to myself initially. Yeah. £50 I pay for a session or some drugs, but I couldn't afford not to, you know, like my mental health.
No,
is
completely. I mean, the drugs or drink analogy is, you know, you would spend that in the pub
on a night out or probably more,
you know, you might even spend double that, you know, and you wouldn't think twice, but then you say to people, oh, I pay this, and they're like, oh, that's a lot of money. And I'm like, it depends where your priorities are.
There's definitely a framing priority thing, 100%, because my therapy at that hour session is the most valuable thing in the whole week to me. If it's the most mm-hmm. expensive thing I buy all week, I'm like, oh, it was 100% worth it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think, you know, I would rather sacrifice, you know, getting, you know, a new pair of shoes or, you know, expensive makeup. I would, you know, I'd rather buy makeup from, you know, the cheap, like, Superdrug.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Any luxury that you could trade, I would.
Yeah, because your mental health is that, you know, it's at the end of the day, you are the only person that can kind of save you.
That's right. And it's also, you're the main one that it affects.
Yeah.
You know, so it's making you unhappy.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what I've found about this this isolation time, because I mean, I've only discovered in the last few months, really, that I am massively codependent.
Okay.
And I've not been single. I'm just kind of newly single. I've not been single for 9 or 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Because I've kind of gone from one relationship to another, and I'm hugely codependent. And what actually this forced time in isolation has taught me is just that I actually really like myself.
Yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's awesome. I like to hear people say that. I feel
it's like having a love affair with yourself, you know.
Yeah. I've been trying to remind myself to love myself.
And it's hard sometimes. But I think the thing is also, you know, in everyday life, there are so many distractions. So you don't get to your core. You don't get to this stage because a lot of the time we don't want to because it's scary. Doing work on yourself is scary.
Super scary.
And looking in. Yeah, absolutely. And looking inwards is super scary. So, and I'm very much the kind of person I would, you know, I would try and distract myself with partying, with men, with, you know, anything,
to avoid,
you know, I'm
sitting
just like, la, I don't want to listen. Yeah.
Even on the train, I would be on my phone. I wouldn't ever sit with my thoughts because I was convinced that I could think myself sad. And I suppose in a way I could if I wasn't thinking constructively, but those sad feelings were there. So I had to process them eventually.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I think it's important to be in the right place, though.
You know, it is. And I mean, it's taken, I mean, you know, my friends are laughing about this because, I mean, you know, some of my close friends who, you know, really care about me, they've been saying to me for like a year, you need to like sort yourself out. You need to kind of...
That's good that they check on you like that.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I mean, I think people have been worried about me for, because, you know, my behavior has been somewhat, this last year has been somewhat questionable.
Yeah.
And...
I feel it was similar when we first met. Well, with me at least. I was like, Rachel, I fucked it.
No, you didn't fuck anything. But I mean, you know, I mean, we've all kind of been on a roller coaster, and I think that, I mean, I think what my friends are laughing about now is that it took a global pandemic to actually force me to spend some time by myself.
and the world's like, right, we're going to do it. Rachel's going to spend some time by herself.
Yeah, the coronavirus was invented solely to make me stop seeing terrible men and and do some work upon my core.
It's a blessing for the women. For women.
Oh, God. No, I mean, it's, you know, but this is one of the things. And I mean, you know, even just like, you know, I'm out in a very beautiful place in New Zealand, like on the South Island of New Zealand at the moment. And I've been coming here for 17 years and I have never appreciated it as much as I have the last 3 weeks.
Really?
Because I think... there is no distractions and there is no, you know, before I'd get bored and I'd be like, you know, let's go to town or let's, you know, but I can't do that. So I'm just like, oh, it's just me here in nature. And actually it's incredible.
Do you feel like the nature is helping too?
Oh my God. Yes.
I was speaking to my friend yesterday about nature and, oh, I think it's just so healing.
Well, there's actually a really, really, I don't know if you follow her. There's a really amazing Instagram page. There's a woman called she's not just an Instagram page. She's a
she's a human being.
She has a website and stuff as well. There's a woman called the Holistic Psychologist.
I don't, but I will.
I'll send you a link after. And
Thank you. She
is absolutely incredible. And she is, she's kind of, inspiring a lot of people to do what she calls self-healing.
Yes.
And she breaks down a lot of the kind of fundamental things that we have wrong with us, things like trauma bonds and like reparenting. And she breaks it down in a really easy to understand way.
Really? I think a lot of people don't. It's so important too,
Yeah, she's incredible. Like, she has literally changed a lot of stuff for me. But one of the things she says is that once it's kind of almost like a sign that you are getting to kind of, you're relaxing into yourself. If you actually start to crave time in nature and you enjoy, and I'm definitely getting to that stage because I didn't used to like, you know, I would find it boring. I'd find it, you know, there's no distraction.
Yeah, I understand. I feel maybe when I was much younger, but nature has always been like a sanctuary for me. I feel there's something about the energy of the forest or even just like a big grassy field. Somewhere there's no cars or concrete. Maybe a car park. If it's grassy enough, I'll take it. Just somewhere there's no people. It resets. There must be something about, I don't know what it is, but
definitely. Like, and I mean,
holisticness has got a place.
Yeah, and it's really wild out here at the moment because it's, you know, I am somewhat in the wilderness, but I mean, you know, I can walk, if I walk for like, I don't know, about 20 minutes, I get to the road, the main road.
20 minutes to the road.
The main road here is not really like a road like most people would envisage a road, but occasionally there is a car will come up one way or the other.
You're like, whoa.
But because of the lockdown, there's just no cars. So I walked.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, I walked from my mum's. Like, you can kind of walk out onto the main road, then go around for like about. I walked for about 2 hours round by the road, and then back up her other drive because she has two drives because she lives in the middle of nowhere. So I walked for 2 hours, and I don't think I saw a single car or a single person. And I literally felt like the last person alive. I felt like someone, you know, like in a zombie movie when they like wake up from the thing and they're like, and it didn't like, feel eerie. And because it's beautiful here, it just felt amazing. It was like it's just me and nature, you know.
Yeah, it can be a bit eerie, but I think a lot of people find it eerie because they just, like you say, don't want to be alone with themselves.
No, absolutely. And I'm, you know, and I'm loving it. And I did, you know, it was the full moon last night here.
Oh,
it was stunning. And I did some crazy moon magic and...
Tell me about that.
Did it... Pardon?
Tell me about that. I'm all about that.
Oh, I did a ritual. I mean, I'm kind of quite a... I don't like to follow rules too much. So I kind of...
No, me neither. I'm a problem with rules.
Yeah, I read, there's a few things that I've done before and there's a few things I've read about and I kind of just... like tailor-made my own ritual, and I burnt some things that I wanted to say goodbye to, and I buried some things that I want to manifest, and there was blood and there was fire and there was
it was so strong. Rachel, you're such a powerful woman. I get such a powerful vibe from you.
Oh my goodness, this was crazy powerful. This was something I was like frenzy. I was digging a hole in the dirt with like my bare hand, which
really?
I've never
You're
done.
Just, like, possessed,
I was
just yeah.
like I mud. Was completely feral by the end.
That must feel so good to let go, though.
Oh God, yeah.
So cathartic. Yeah.
Really cathartic. And I mean, I felt like I was high, like at the end. You know,
yeah.
I really did.
People say that, don't they? It's like meditation, isn't it?
Completely. But the thing is, it's only like this pandemic would have caused me to be in a situation where I would be doing stuff like that by myself to entertain myself anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Do you feel like you're entertaining yourself or you're just kind of allowing your true nature to be more present?
I mean, I think the thing is, like, I mean, when I was a kid, we grew up in the country and stuff. So I've always kind of been quite good at entertaining myself. But then I think as I got older, I kind of, you know, I think all children are good at that.
I loved playing games when I was a child. I had a wild imagination. I still have a wild imagination.
Yeah. Well, this is a no, completely me too. And the thing is, as children, you know, we because we don't have, you know, we don't have the same distractions. We don't have the access to them. We just have to kind of take care of ourselves. So I think as a child, you know, you learn to like to create your own worlds and love your own company and do your own shit, and you're having a great time. And then at some point, it all goes horribly wrong, and you start to feel dependent on others and phones. And
how much do you think school and society has a role in that? Do you think people are conditioned out of that fun imaginativeness?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I think they're conditioned out of joy.
Yeah, I think so, because I think that incentivizes people to do better for themselves rather than just be slugging on part of the machine.
Definitely, definitely. And yeah, no, that's the thing. And they, you know, most societies want us to be part of the machine.
Yeah. I think a lot of people struggle to say they're really, like, happy and free. And I think it's because they're just stuck. They're conditioned out of it.
Completely. And I mean, one thing that I would, you know, I've never had a conventional life. I mean, I've always kind of shied away. Pardon?
Same.
Yeah, same as you. And I mean, I've always shied away from that. And I mean, the one thing that I would say is I generally have had a very, very happy and good life.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of, you know, not good maybe in some people's views in terms of, you know, material things or whatever, but, you know, I've always been fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't own any expensive handbags. Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a marker for success.
Pardon?
I don't think that's a marker for success in my eyes.
No, exactly. But I mean, it's, you know, I've always done well enough, you know, for me to be happy. But I mean, I can honestly say I'm one of the few people I know. If I died tomorrow, I always say this, and people are like, don't say that. You might. but if I died tomorrow, I can honestly say I would be happy because I have lived more in my life. I have lived more than most people ever will.
That's fucking awesome. That's a really, really awesome thing to say. I'm sure loads of people couldn't say that.
No, and I don't mean to make anyone feel like FOMO
it's inspirational. It's inspiring. I feel similarly. There's a lot I want to do. I think that's keeps me here. But if I did die in an accident, I mean, like, what a hell of a story, a life story for somebody to write about.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, you know, I mean, I think also, because I always say, oh, if I died next week, and people say, oh, don't say that. And I mean, the trouble with our society is that we are completely detached from death nowadays. And the fact is we're all going to die. And I just think that I'm a bit more like, I don't know. I just kind of, you know, I'm like, people always say, oh, you know, what's your plan for like next year? I'm like, I might be dead next year. And they say, don't say that. And I'm like, no, it's actually like, there is a probability that might happen, you know? So I've always just kind of lived every day as it comes, you know, and do the things. That's the one thing, that's the advice that I would give to anyone, you know, who's sitting there trying to work out what to do, you know, like, should I do this, or who's scared or feeling held back or something. To take the risk, do the thing, eat the cake.
Yes.
You know, do
we
the
live
dance,
lives of
buy the shoes.
Don't we?
Yeah. No, we do. And you have one shot. We have one chance. We are all dead a very long time. So make the most of the time you have. And just, you know, that's something that I would really, really emphasize to anyone, you know, take risks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm sure you could, you know, you can have a very, like, you know, staid and steady life, and you can probably, you know, you might make a lot of money and whatever, but I've met so many rich people who are miserable.
Oh my goodness, likewise. Money is something that really is, it's another thing that controls us, isn't it? And it very much, the more you have, I feel like the more unhappy you are, because the more you want.
Definitely, definitely. And I mean, I've met some, you know, kind of multi millionaires who were absolutely miserable and kind of living a lie. And I would, so for me, I think just having integrity and doing the things you want to do. And, you know, I mean, obviously not everyone is in a situation where they can have a life, you know,
of course,
where they can choose their lifestyle. But you know, we all have choices to an extent. And I just think it's important to, just to make that, you know, no matter what your lifestyle is or what your job is or anything else, just to make the most of every single opportunity that comes along.
Yeah, because like you said earlier, just a minute ago, death, we're dead a lot longer. I always find that
we're dead a long time.
Yeah, we're dead a really long time. Our lives are very short compared to the world, you know. So cram stuff
in. You've got to do the things. You've got to do the things. And the things are often scary I mean, you know, I'm always kind of like, you know, I actually found this, you know, doing domination and stuff like that, you know, you get people who are into like really weird stuff, really, 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 really kind of extreme or strange
stuff.
There's
so many fetishes that blew my mind. it still blows my mind. Yeah. Oh my god.
But some of these guys, you know, I've seen guys who were like in their 70s and they were literally just like, I want to try this because I'm scared I never will. I'm going to die. And I'm like, no, that's great.
I respect that so much.
Yeah, and I mean, and also, you know, or they'd come, or not necessarily older guys, but just some, you know, some people would come and say, look, this is a really extreme thing or whatever, but I really want to try it. Mm. And I just, and I would say to them, you know what, I respect you for wanting, because I said it's better to try it and then write it off and say, right, that's not for me.
It's not for me.
Than to go to your deathbed wondering, you know, maybe I really wanted someone to do this to me and I
never. Maybe I really wanted to have somebody's fist up my butt. You know?
Yeah, or for someone to like shit on me or something, you know, that's, that's a common.
I think that's quite a common fetish. People just don't realize. How much do you think
it's very common.
Sex workers have a role in helping people be more open sexually, like take risks
for
sexually?
Sure.
I think we really do. And I think it's even in porn, even in people's OnlyFans, just requesting custom things from people or searching for that unusual porn, like, it enables people to take risks within their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Sexually.
I mean, I think that's something that I noticed actually as a dom, was that, that, you know, it was because I became a dom when I was 21, so 19 years ago. And that was, you know, that was like 2001-ish. Mm. And that was, you know, when the internet was first getting really big. Mm. And obviously with the advent of the internet came, you know, internet porn and people getting to see things they never, ever would have known about beforehand, 100%. You know?
It blew it wide open.
So, I mean, you know, back in the 50s or something, maybe people wanted someone to shit on them, but they just didn't know that it would ever be possible.
Yeah. That would never ever, or that they were the only one in the world.
Yeah, they would know. Yeah. I think people felt very isolated, whereas now they're just like, oh, this is how it is.
This is how it is. There's a whole group of people that are like this.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I think it builds a really nice community. I think any communities I'm part of, the performance community, sex work community, they're all such a close community. During this crisis, like you mentioned earlier about the sex work thing being, sex workers being excluded from financial aid in America, the community, the fan base and everything else, so outraged about it. And I think it's so amazing and it's so wonderful and it's so supportive. What's your experience of it really?
Yeah. Pardon?
What's your experience of your fan base within sex work and performing been like?
I mean, well, like I said, I've always been fairly like on the down low with the sex work. Mm. But then, I mean, I'm obviously as a performer, you know, though, I still post kind of quite sexually explicit images and everything else. And I mean, I generally, what I've found is the majority of my fan base actually is women.
Really? That's rad.
Yeah. It's very interesting actually on my Instagram, like on the, you know, you can see.
Yeah. The analytics.
And I actually have more women than men.
Really? I don't. I wish I did. That would be cool.
No, most of my female friends don't. I think it was actually from... Because of me being in the show with Charlie. And
really?
I think they saw us as a couple. And I think, And so I didn't get as many creepy dudes because I was always kind of like publicly with a man.
That's very true. It's the same way that a man will respect you having a boyfriend more than you just say no.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one sad thing about getting divorced is, like, the number of, like, creepy messages I get has gone up.
Have you noticed?
Oh, my God, infinitesimally. I shouldn't just say creepy, though, because obviously some guys that, like, follow me and have written to me probably are listening to this. There are also, you know, there are nice men as well.
You are lovely. Yeah, you know. Yeah, we are quite critical of men, but there's so many really lovely ones.
Yeah, there are some really nice ones, and you know, I mean, I appreciate anyone that takes the time to write to me. You know, I
agree.
You know, and I've met some really, really cool people. You know, through Instagram, through people that were following me. But then there's also the weird, like, send bobs guys.
Yeah, open bobs, send vagine.
Yeah, they have there's a lot. They've multiplied since I was like, I'm divorced, or
suddenly.
All these guys. Yeah. I mean, the other thing that I think is so funny is when you post, you know, if you're relatively public and then you post on social media that you're now single,
yeah.
every single guy that you've ever hooked up with at some point.
Oh my gosh, like, yes.
Yeah, are all just like, hello,
it's me, so hello. Bizarre, isn't it? Like, I understand. And obviously that's just like a human thing, but it's also, I just wouldn't do it. Like, it would never occur
really
to me as a
woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really transparent. And the thing is, they also, like, literally the number of messages I have had from concerned men that from my past,
so concerned,
who are like, oh, I'm so sorry you've had to go through this, if you need to talk to anyone, I'm here. And I'm like,
the
I've
spiel.
Not these are guys literally that I haven't spoken to for like 10-15 years. I'm like,
wow,
I managed to not talk to you for 10 years. I have actual friends I can talk about my emotional situation.
Yeah, like I have a friendship group. Like, I have that. I'm good.
I know. I'm like, I have people. Like, no, yeah, it's very strange. Very strange.
How bizarre that people think, like, because it's like when people send dick pics. When has that ever worked?
Yeah, I know. Well, that was the other thing. I never used to get dick pics at all. In fact,
did you not?
I think I got one the other day, maybe one.
Was it a moment?
Well, because I was with Charlie for so long, and because he's very scary looking, and my public persona was kind of as a married person. So I just never really, like, I've just never really been a beneficiary of, and I posted something about this like a few years ago, and I was like, do I have a face that looks like it hates dicks? Because no one... Do I look like I hate dicks? Because no one wants to show me this.
No one wants to show me. I want to see some
no
dicks.
No one wants to show me. If I will, if anyone's listening to this, that
Oh no, Rich,
do
don't
your
say
worst.
That.
Oh god, I know. I'll be in.
You've
I'll be
opened
like,
the floodgates now.
Oh. I know. Then I'll be like, why did I say that? No.
How bizarre that people see you differently, even as a married woman to a non-married woman.
Yeah,
it's something to me it wouldn't occur, because marriage seems to me quite old-fashioned, but the perception and the kind of idea is still there in society.
Oh god, yeah, no, definitely, and it's kind of, and I mean, it's what's interesting is the amount of, you know, men, the amount of respect that I got from men having like a scary husband that, you know, if I hadn't, they would have not given me that respect, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that, you know, and in the performance world and stuff, you know, that was actually really, that was really useful.
Mm.
You know, and because we, you know, we would do a lot of shows for kind of like biker gangs and stuff like that. And
yeah.
It's the kind of situation where, like, if I had been there as a woman by myself, I probably would have got treated very, very differently.
I've experienced this, yeah, too, at like Hell's Angels festivals, etc. Biker festivals. Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's because I think a lot of people think that kind of outright misogyny doesn't exist still, but it really does.
Oh god, it does. Yeah, and I mean, and that's the thing. I think as a woman in the kind of entertainment industry, you learn that you know, you either have to kind of try and fight it, or you can like use it to your advantage. You know,
that's
so like,
true.
Yeah. And fighting it is pretty hard, so most of us probably just use it to our advantage.
It's probably not useful to fight it in certain ways too. Some people they wouldn't give you the time of day, even if you had something to say. You kind of have to work your way
true.
Up to the positions of power where you can actually make legitimate changes, such as you running a show, booking your lineup, and treating the people
and
with,
I mean,
your respect.
For sure. And I mean, you know, you've been doing, you're actually doing some very good political, you know, I think you should get into politics.
I've thought about it. This is something I talk about with my therapist a lot.
you have a voice, and you're fearless with stuff
well,
like that.
Just,
and
just kind of stubborn.
But I think there needs to, you know, people like you are how change happens. And I would
Thank
vote
you.
For you.
Thank you. I don't think anyone else would, but there's a big bunch of people that would, and they're very loud people. You and I are very loud people, and we.
You could be the Jacinda Ardern of the UK.
Who's that? Tell me.
She's the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Oh, is that her name? Say it again.
Yeah. Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda Ardern. Yeah, I do recognise that name. I need to... I'm really
yeah, so
bad
you could
names.
Be you could be like the equivalent of her in the UK, and you
oh
could be like
gosh.
The cool young Prime Minister that like...
God knows the UK needs it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh,
it's run by dinosaurs.
It's really all so bizarrely old-fashioned that they don't even understand how a virus works. He went and shook everyone's hands. I'm like, oh no.
Well, I think also that they, you know, I think that, I mean, the whole, the initial thing there with them saying, oh, you know, herd immunity, let's just like let everyone die.
Abhorrent.
Yeah.
It was
insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's, you know, I think they genuinely wanted to kind of cull.
I do.
And then it was only because other countries, you know, and the World Health Organization were like, oi, this is completely messed up.
They said it was inhumane. It was bad.
Yeah, you can't just like let everyone die.
Especially more underfunded communities because they don't have access and they don't have information.
I know, and I mean that's what's so sad is what I was reading about in New York is it's all, you know, it's generally not Caucasian people that are like bearing the brunt of this.
Yep.
You know, it's all the kind of minority communities.
Yeah, an article said all BAME communities are hit harder.
It's
obvious. Medical bias, medical racial bias is so well documented. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of people don't know. It's really awful.
This information, like I received a letter from the UK Parliament. It was only written in English. There was no options for other languages. I know a lot of people in my community, I think perhaps because I work in such a creative industry, but half of my friends, their first language isn't English. And it's such a complex worded leaflet. I'm like, I feel so sorry for people that would feel so alienated and pushed out by this language.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, it's a crazy time. And I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see what the future holds and what... I mean, I think, you know, as performers, I think that events are going to be curtailed for some time.
Definitely. I think a lot of companies probably won't survive until next year to throw more events.
No, and I mean, you know, and I mean, does it mean that events, you know, until a vaccine is developed for this, are our only events going to be like of like 20 people or something, you know?
Yeah. What is the new normal? We still don't really know. That's the scary bit. That's the scariest.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing is, you know, and is this a one-off thing or are there going to be more things like this, you know?
That's now that we live in such a dense population with so much international travel. I mean, you and I travel so much. It's only natural that pathogens would get moved around like this. It's scary.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like my sister has a farm and she was saying to me, you know, she said she sees... you know, all the time her like cows and goats and sheep get colds.
Oh yeah.
You know, she sees that they have a cough and they like have like runny noses and stuff. And she said she like probably what they have is some kind of coronavirus.
Oh yeah, because animals have had it now, haven't they? Tigers, animals, dogs. But no, but, cats.
But I mean it came from animals as well. So she was like every time she sees one of her animals is sick, she's like that is probably like a different strain of it, but it's just not made its way to humans yet.
Yeah, 100%. I think so. You know, it's been around for a while. People didn't realize.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm quite excited. I've not got to the kind of depressive because you know I clearly don't like planning and like to live every day like it's my last. So I'm quite I'm not too depressed about this. And I mean, I know it's very very hard for people. You know, there's a lot of people in bad situations because of it. But I mean, I'm hoping that we can come out of it better as a society.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Even it's very tough for a lot of people, and I'm sure you're witnessing as much pain and fear and uncertainty on your feed as much as I am from all the performers whose whole industry has been, the legs have been taken out of it. Like it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not really even a way to replicate it online as there is with like OnlyFans and stuff. So it's really scary, but I think looking at the bigger picture, if it does make society better, then that could be all worth it. Obviously, people dying isn't worth it. I want to wish it on the world, but I think that's the only way that we can all push towards the same vision of making it better.
Yeah.
Is to make society better. And I think slower pace of life is so much nicer.
No, it is. And I mean, you know, I just think that a lot of us have been, you know, saying for a long time, oh, if only I had time to do this, you know, and so now everyone's been given an enforced holiday.
Yeah, I know a lot of performers that they gig non-stop, and they have to, because your gig to gig is wage to wage, so you have to, but there's so much time now, and you could use it, even if you're using it to rest, use it for that. Like, don't, your life hasn't stopped, like, it's not on hold, it's still going. Even if you're using these 6 weeks to lie on your sofa and do nothing, use it actively.
Yeah, no, completely. And I mean, the thing is, you know, there's been a lot of kind of back and forth and backlash because, you know, originally people were, you know, there's been memes saying you should be learning stuff and if you don't, you lack discipline. And then there's a backlash of memes to that saying you can't attack people for not wanting to do anything. This is a traumatic time. But I mean, I think it is a traumatic time, but it is also, life is what you make it. And I think you, you know, if you, I'm a very glass half full person. And so, you know, I think that you should try if you can, you know, even if you have bad days and even if, you know.
Yeah, we all have bad days.
Everyone
does. It's important
to
embrace those too,
Completely, but also, you know, just try, you don't have to, like, learn ancient Greek, but just try and do stuff, like, you know, make a small promise of something that you're going to do every day.
Even just a walk and a think to yourself, like you've been doing.
I've
been trying to take the pressure off,
And just keep little promises. I mean, I've found even things like, you know, I know a lot of people, obviously, you know, it's tempting just to sit around in your pajamas, but things like getting up and getting dressed.
It is important. I agree.
Yeah. And keeping your space nice as well. If you're trapped, you know, I was a messy fuck before. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this.
Yes. As much as you fucking want.
Oh, I was a messy fuck before this start. I've always been a very messy person. And who knew? All it did was take a pandemic to make me really tidy.
It seems like because you've changed your life, Rachel.
Oh God, yeah, I've completely revolutionized. But I mean, the thing is, it's like all of a sudden, because it's only me in this space and I'm taking care of the space.
Yeah,
I'm very aware that I can make it nice or I can make it not nice.
Yeah, I've been aware of that so much.
Yeah, so I've really like. Yeah, and I've been taking very much pride in, you know, the kind of making my space nice, and it's gorgeous, and you know, things like that will help your mental health
so much. You don't want to do them, obviously. I'm the first person to let my house become a trash heap, but when I love my environment, it loves me right back.
Yeah, completely. And you know, I mean, I think that's the thing I would say. You know, if you're feeling really down, but you know, you haven't showered for like a couple of days, and you've been wearing the same pajamas, and you're kind of, you know, you're like surrounded in a like pile of like, I don't know, empty pizza
food
boxes
wrappers,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even though the more you get, like, I know the more you get into that spiral, the harder it is to get out of it. But you know, it's little things like that that, you know, completely change your outlook and completely change your mood.
They do.
If you can just, you know, get up, like just put the rubbish in the bin.
Yeah,
you know.
I do that. I put rubbish next to my bin and then I go in my kitchen like, oh, this is gross. And I'm like, what the fuck, Becca? Just put it in the bin.
Yeah. No, completely. And
back
then,
to
you
basic.
Know, and then once, yeah. And the thing is, I think it's hard if you're, you know, if you are struggling, it's hard to kind of keep on top of stuff like that. And I mean, it was funny because I was talking to one of my best friends yesterday because I said to her that I've kind of become tidy. And she said, yeah, because she said, it's funny, you just never used to really notice your environment. Like, I was messy because I just don't think I cared. And I think that was actually probably a product of having quite poor mental health.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's a
symptom that you overlook until you rectify it, and then you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, because I just didn't care. I was, you know, I could be in a complete mess, and I'd just be like, oh, it just doesn't really affect, I don't
you're
really
you're in your own
it.
Head all the time rather than present.
Yeah, whereas now I'm a lot more conscious of my environment and how it, you know, how it makes me feel.
Yeah. Do you feel calmer?
Yeah.
I feel so much calmer when my space is
oh like, my God, I'm so calm.
It's almost like the energy has like room to flow around or something. I'm like, ah, everything's in its place.
Yeah, definitely. And it, you know, just I would say that that's, you know, the best things you can do, just like, you know, because these are trying times. I think the uncertainty is probably what's getting to a lot of people.
But
I just
think we're not equipped as humans to deal with that, are we?
No, we're not. But I mean, I think the trouble is there's no point assuming the worst until you know. So I just think you've got to really, and I'm quite a positive person, you know, you've just got to kind of just glass half full. It's going to be okay until it's not okay.
Even if you fake it a bit till you make it, just kind of tell yourself, or just even like talk yourself down. Be like, look, you don't know it's going to be good, but you also don't know it's going to be the worst. therefore no. You can't assume that. You can't give their negative thoughts preferential treatment. I heard completely. An analogy once. There's two dogs in my mind. One's good and one is evil, or one is positive, one is negative. And somebody who is telling this analogy tells it to someone, and the person says, I've messed this up already.
Pardon?
Which one of these dogs wins the fight? Because these two dogs are fighting in your mind. One's positive and one's negative. Which one wins the fight? And it's the one you feed the most. Mm-hmm. So whichever one you feed the most positive thoughts or negative thoughts, even if it's physical food, whatever you feed the most is going to grow the biggest.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, and that's the thing as well. I mean, that's the thing, because obviously I know if you're feeling depressed or if you're feeling sad, you kind of just want to like lie around and just, you know,
but
that's also kind of like giving up. And it's also easier to lie around than it is to actually get up and do stuff.
Yeah.
But you're also not helping yourself. Like, I think, you know, I think just to try and kind of... We are the only people who can help ourselves, and we are the only people who can change ourselves.
I think there's a lot of culture nowadays where it's either cool to be sad, or people just don't want to take responsibility for their mental health. They're just happy to let it be sad because the world is
completely struggling. Yeah. And also, it's easier to, you know, I'm not belittling or saying that mental health issues don't exist. Of course they do.
Oh my God, they do,
but
yeah.
It's easier to stay in your pajamas all day and kind of, you know, watch TV than it is to get up and go for a run and cook healthy food and like clean your flat.
Right.
The first is the much easier option, but will not make you feel any, but you know, so the thing is, I think in life, you know, I've been reading a lot of stuff about, kind of just, you know, changing your life and kind of manifesting things and making things better for yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, one thing that I read that is very, very true is if you put in average effort, you will only ever see average results.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Hard work pays off.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to be exceptional at anything, or if you want to have any kind of life or chance of anything that is above ordinary, you have to put in like above an ordinary amount of effort, you know?
Yeah. People don't see the craziness that goes in behind extraordinary people with extraordinary lives. We know so many people, and they can do amazing things with their bodies, amazing skills, but they've been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah, and they work so hard. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
It translates to everything: mental health, physical health. You know.
Mhm.
Yeah, I think it's an important lesson. I think it's a lesson that we're probably quite good at knowing, at least, is that hard work pays off. Because, girl, you've got skills.
Definitely.
How do you feel about learning new skills during this lockdown? Have you got anything on your mind that you want to do, or you're just doing mental health? Yeah.
No. I'm learning. I've gone full on balls to the wall. I'm learning all kinds of shit. Like, yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah. Well, no, one of them is a secret.
Is it a secret? Okay, I'm excited.
It's a secret.
When's the grand reveal?
There's a very big thing for me.
Wow.
And I've made some incredible progress in the last couple of days, but I kind of don't want to talk about it yet because I don't want to jinx it. But
don't jinx it. Oh, my God, I'm so excited for you, though.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think the thing for me is I'm at a stage in my life where I realize that the only person that has held me back throughout my life is myself.
Oh, same.
And... yeah, completely. We sabotage ourselves. And the thing is, you can do... You literally can... You know, human beings are amazing. You can do anything you want to. It's just... you don't think that you can.
Yeah.
Because of what's been conditioned into you as a child, usually.
Probably going back to school and stuff, and... yeah.
Well, even early childhood. Most of it's to do with our parents, actually. It's to do with early childhood.
Yeah, therapy has taught me that.
Yeah, and you know, and you know, we'll hear things as a child, you know, like, you'll never be good at this, or we're never going to have money, or you're never going to have this, you're never going to have that, and you take... Oh, there's a funny noise.
So sorry, my neighbour is just mowing his lawn.
I was like
lockdown activities.
No, but the thing that I read was saying that, you know, we take as children, we hear these labels being attached to us, and we literally take that and fucking attach it to ourselves like a tag, and wear it around with us for the rest of our lives, like a name tag, you know, because because as children, as you know, a tiny, tiny child thinks they can do anything until it gets told otherwise. And then it you know, it's just like, I can never do these things because this is what the grown-ups have told me.
It's so true though, you're limited.
Yeah, so unlearning that behavior is very hard, but I'm at a stage right now where I really feel like I'm unlearning it, and it's, yeah.
Do you feel like it started now, or do you feel like the progress has been going your whole life?
No, I feel like I'm just getting started.
Really? But that's okay.
Oh, yeah. You're okay with that? And not that everything I did up until this point was... Sorry?
At the beautiful age of 40.
Well, I'm 39.
She's 39, so sorry.
Yeah, I'll be 40 and... I'll be 40 in July, which is, you know, it's pretty, it's a thing. You know what's so funny is that I'm not that bothered, but I think I'm bothered because everyone thinks you should be. So everyone keeps saying, oh, how do you feel about turning 40? And I'm like, it's, you know.
It's an age.
I'm still here.
Yeah. Have a lot of people been saying that then? Is that something that people have been asking?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. People say that to me all the time. But I think the thing is also, you know, having done sex work and stuff, you usually have 10 years taken off your age anyway.
Yeah.
So I've never... I'm like, I'm so used to kind of like lying about my age or
an
having a different age.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm just like, oh, I'm, you know, like, how old? I'm 28. What?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it helps as well. I mean, I'm lucky in that I don't think I look 40. So, you know, whenever I tell people, they're like, my God, you don't look that old. And I'm like, thank you. So, I mean, I've not come to terms fully with it, I don't think, because I feel like I'm still like kind of living somewhat of a lie. But I mean, I think it's for a woman, it's scary because, you know, you are kind of taught that your life is kind of downhill from there. So then It's quite scary for me because I'm just like, is this the beginning of the end? Like, what's happening?
I suppose it's where we start getting sold like anti-wrinkle creams and vagina tightening and whatever, all these sort of things that are supposed to make us younger.
Well, I mean, it's very strange for me. I mean, one thing that my mum always said to me is she said, the thing about getting old is you still feel the same.
Yeah, my mum's the same. She says she's a child still, but she's a 60-year-old. Adult woman.
Yeah, so I mean that's a very scary, so for me, you know, I don't, you know, everyone's like, how is it gonna feel being 40, and I'm like, I still feel like I'm like 15.
Yeah. It's only that one day change as well, isn't it? It's a number ultimately. Hello, Mindy.
Sorry, it is. And I mean, you know, and I think the one thing that it's actually given me is it's given me more of an urgency about doing the things that I want to do.
Oh, that's nice though. I feel like,
yeah,
like a bucket list, or
not like I'm about to die.
No, not like you're about to die, but like a list of things you definitely want to do.
Just more in terms of my career and stuff like that. Well, you know, this isn't going to be, I'm not going to be able to do this shit forever, so I better get moving now, you know. Whereas I think before, you know, in my 20s and in my 30s, I was just very leisurely with time, and I was very kind of unfazed and just like, oh, whatever, I'll just do this whenever.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, it has to be done now. Nearly 40. Death is imminent.
No. Please don't let me jinx you now. I feel like a lot of people must have anxiety about turning 40. I know some of my friends have got anxiety about even turning 30.
I always speak to my mum about
turning 60.
Once you get to... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get to my age, you really, like... Sorry, I was talking over you there.
It's fine. I talk a lot.
Once you get to my age, it's funny because I see girls being like, oh my God, I'm turning 30, and you're just like, shut up.
You're like, shit, you don't even know.
But also, I mean, the main thing I would say is nothing changes.
Nothing actually does.
And if anything, I loved my 30s way more than my 20s.
I'm feeling that. I'm not there yet, but my 20s, you just learn a lot in your 20s. It's a rocky ride.
Your 20s suck, honestly. Like, and once you're in your 30s, you'll realise that. Because in your 20s, you're still very kind of, you don't know quite who you are. You're more insecure.
Yeah.
And then you get to your 30s and you're like, I'm getting the hang of this. And I actually feel like I'm kind of reaching my peak, you know. So maybe I need to get to 40 and then I'm gonna have it all worked out.
That's awesome. I love that. That's so against the narrative of like mainstream capitalism.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I definitely have got happier as I've got, you know, I'm the happiest now I've ever been.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like
100%.
A lot of people say that. I would agree. I'm personally happier than I've ever been, but it's definitely been down to active work.
Yeah.
It's not just an aging thing.
No. But it's also, you know, there's a number of factors as well. You know, you become more confident, you know who you are more,
right.
You have the knowledge and the tools to kind of be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, I suppose you just get more experience.
Yeah. And you also, I think, start to care less what people think of you as well. You know,
you
realize that, you know, yeah, I think so.
That's definitely something that cripples me more now than it did when I was younger. And I'd always swear I wouldn't let it get to me. But I think as I get older, I care more about people on a level that I never thought I would. Like, if I come home late at night and I make too much noise, I'm like, oh, sorry, neighbours. Whereas before, that would never bother me. That would never even occur to me. I don't know. I feel like it just as a functioning, a conforming even adult, I care more. But maybe that's just me, and maybe that's something I have to work through. Because I want to be calm.
That's really cool.
That's what I want to work towards. I want to be calm.
But yeah, no, you will. But I mean, you know, I think you're quite like a higher energy. You know, you've kind of got quite like this kind of manic energy, which is probably what drives you to actually get a lot of stuff done.
So much. ADHD is real.
Yeah, so I mean, if you were too zen-like, you probably wouldn't achieve half the things that you achieve.
Yeah, that's very true. I definitely try and harness it. That's something I've been working on through my therapist, harnessing things that other people would see as a fault or society has told me is a fault, something that needs to be fixed, to be medicated, to be sedated. I've embraced it as something that's part of me, and I do experience burnout frequently, and I feel it because I know exactly what it feels like now, and that's something that's taken me a while to learn. So I know when to be like, I cannot pick up my phone for 2 days because I'll just start crying. I know when to do that now. So it is just part of embracing what you've got, I suppose, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, you know, you everyone has their own unique kind of talent and their own unique way of dealing with things, and I think that, you know, like I said, you're obviously very driven, and you know, when you get passionate about something, you're on it. You're like, and you know, I don't think you would necessarily have that kind of burning drive or desire or passion if you weren't ADHD and kind of, you know.
Thank you. it's definitely something
you wouldn't have that kind
of
fire.
Yeah. Fire is definitely the word.
No, you should be proud. That's why you're going to be the new Prime Minister of the world.
Of the world. Thank you so much. I hope so. I feel like the world would at least be slightly better if I was. I don't know anything about it, but it would be better than what's currently happening.
No, I honestly think you should get into something like that. Like you've definitely got a voice, and you're
thank you.
And you're very, very unafraid, which is unusual.
I couldn't live with myself if I didn't stand up for what I think is right, you know? It pushes me through. It does. It's definitely my future.
And that is unusual. And yet, you know, and you're not scared of the consequence. All you care about is what is right. Which is right.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Rachel. What's in the future for Rachel Atlas then? Not me.
Well, who knows? Because right now the future is somewhat murky.
Uncertain. Murky waters.
Everyone's plans. It makes the interview question. It's like, what are your plans for the rest of the year? Well,
right. Fuck knows,
might
mate.
Still be here in New Zealand living in this shack.
Yeah. You've been quarantining from even your mother, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm allowed to be in the house with her now.
Oh, great. Well done for following the rules.
Yeah, I had to be in quarantine for 2 weeks when I got here. But no, I mean, I'm learning some new skills. I had like a new like performance group that we were planning on like unleashing.
Ooh.
Right as this happened. Hopefully that will be a thing. You know, I've got some new skills. I'm actually one of the things that I'm doing right now, I'm writing a book about mine and my ex-husband's knife throwing, like the rise and fall of our career.
I can't wait to read that.
It's an incredible story. I mean, I was actually I I was approached by an agent about writing something about it, and I was kind of like, is it an exciting enough story, you know, is it something that and then I kind of did the like chapter summaries and the synopsis, and I was, you know, going through our actual timeline, and I was like, this, it's like Motley Crue's The Dirt, but like in like the circus
world. I
can
imagine.
It's like every chapter, I was kind of like, is this is going to be boring? And then I'm like, no, every chapter has some kind of crazy cliffhanger or like something
it
like
is
terrible.
Rock and roll.
Or,
it is the performance world, the wildest shit has happened to me in the craziest places in the world. Like, I've just no words.
So completely. So, I mean, you know, so I'm going to try and now is a great time, obviously, to be writing because there's, you know, we have a lot of time and I'm excited. I feel like this pandemic has given me a chance to just kind of reboot, and I'm very excited about coming out the other side.
That's so awesome, Rachel. You seem so calm and so wise and at peace. You seem at peace. You're very like at oneness.
I'm definitely at peace, yeah.
Yes. Rachel, I've had such a nice chat. So uplifting.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, it was really, really lovely to talk to you. And get into politics. The world needs you.
Ah! All right. Okay, but can you be my campaign manager? Because you seem a lot calmer.
Yes,
than me.
I will manage you.
Amazing. All right, it's a deal. Rachel, where can we find you on the internet?
At the moment, my internet presence, I'm really terrible at everything, but probably just on Instagram at The Rachel Atlas.
The Rachel Atlas.
The Rachel Atlas.
Atlas.
Yeah.
Great. Rachel, I just want to confirm. Rachel, the Atlas, people always put an E on the end of my name. There's always a bizarre spelling somewhere.
I know. An Atlas, like an Atlas of the world. Yeah.
An Atlas of the world. She's a globetrotter.
I am.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rachel. You're a wonderful human being. And you enjoy your time in New Zealand because it's stunning there. You're in the right place.
I will.
Thank you, Queen. I love you. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.